This is
Animal Radio.
Stacey, looks like you're working hard. What's going on?
Did you know that there's about 850 chimps that are used in U.S. laboratories every year? And they're used for research. The only reason they do that is because they are similar to humans. I mean, look over at Hal.
Wait a second there.
He's kind of skinny to be a chimp. Nah, he doesn't really. You probably weren't evolved from the chimps. Something else.
Well, thanks.
I don't know. Ostriches, maybe, or something?
Giraffe?
But not Joey. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, I know you guys are throwing things at me right now. The new guidelines are going to mean, though, that 300 of those 850, they're going to be retired. And I don't know if they get 401k plans or what, but they're not going to be used for research any longer, which is good news. They're starting to look at the ethical considerations of chimps. I'll tell you about it coming up.
Well, it's about time.
Get those chimps out of those labs.
Hey, Debbie.
Hi.
How are you? Where are you today?
Well, at this moment, I'm going around Cincinnati. Number one, I have two questions. Number one is I have a Peachy. She's 10 years old. I took her to the vet for she had an ear infection. I happened to mention I thought maybe she might have a urinary tract infection because she had gone in the house twice a week, and she's housebroken. She's, you know, she's 10 years old. It has to be something going on. But she ran all kinds of blood tests and all that on her, and everything came back fine. I did get something for her ear infection, but she also told me that her urine was a little watery. And she said the next time I brought her back, if I wanted, we could do a blood test on her kidneys. Now, my question is, might this be the beginning of kidney failure?
Okay. Now, I want to back up first and foremost because you used an abbreviation that might have some people scratching their heads. You said you have a PBGV, right?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay. So that's a kind of a unique breed of Petit Basset Griffon, right?
Yes.
The Van Deen, right. It's a French breed. So I don't know if Hal and Judy, if you guys heard about this breed. Hula is very special. But very cool. Don't see many of those out in practice. So that's very, very lovely. So now I want to clarify also, you had some urine tests. Now, did they test her blood when you initially had that visit?
Yes. They tested it for thyroid, diabetes, I don't know. It was like $400.
Okay.
In there
day. Well, you hope the kidneys are included in there.
Goodness.
All right. Because I just want to make sure, because definitely if we have a pet with a dilute urine, the first thing is definitely we want to check those kidneys. And there's some basic urine tests that we would do. The BUN and creatinine are some of the basic chemistries that we would look at on a chem profile. Those are the first things that speak to us about the kidney function. So not sure where your pets were originally, but if it wasn't done or it wasn't included in that, then definitely I would encourage you to have that done, because it's very important to look at that if we've got dilute urine. The other thing we'll look for, other signs of either kidney disease or infection, and we can do that with some special urine tests where we can check the protein in the urine and compare that to other analogs in the urine, and that helps us to give us a suspicion of, you know, do we have that road of kidney disease we need to go hunting and do more involved testing like ultrasounds or x-rays or what have you. And then certainly, even if we don't see anything in the urine, but we are having urinary signs, I'll culture urine, because we don't always see bacteria in a sample, and there can be infection in that urinary tract. So that might be something to, unfortunately, more tests. I'm sure you want to hear that right now. but that would be, a realistic way to kind of make us feel better. Do we have something in this urinary tract we have to worry about? After that's all kind of satisfied and we hopefully look good in that department, then we might look at other things. And I've had a couple patients where we can have a condition of diabetes insipidus. It's not terribly common. It's not your regular diabetes, but it's a type of diabetes that affects their concentration of urine, and they actually produce large amounts of very dilute urine. It takes a little special testing for that as well, but that's something else to look at. And in some cases, I eliminate all the other things that will influence a watery urine. So some dogs will will tank up on pool water. Some pets drink a lot of water out of just what we call a psychogenic problem, where they drink excessive amounts. And then we look at any medicines or things like that that might be causing an increased thirst. So that's where the sleuth work in veterinary medicine comes into play. And that's when our job gets really interesting, when we're trying to piece together not only lab tests, but also things that go on in the house or in your pet's life. Kind of a roundabout answer to that, but I hope that gives you some confirmation that, yes, I would definitely look into those kidneys more. And you had a second question?
People are going to think I'm crazy, but my other dog is a English Mastiff, and she is 3 years old. I do want to have one litter of puppies, and I just want to experience one litter with her, and then I will have her spayed. But my question is, do they, when they come in heat, do they experience stomach cramps, moody, lethargic, like
do
we
do? Do they have PMS? Do dogs have PMS? What a great question. You know, we'd have to say some of that we honestly do not know. There are some dogs that I do feel have some mild diarrhea around the time that they're in heat, and they can have some behavioral changes. So it is certainly realistic to expect they have some of the physical changes. I don't know if they're as, you know, moody as we women can take the blame for being, because I always feel that dogs are much sturdier than us humans. When it comes to pain and emotions, they take the cake. They really are much tougher that way. So hard to say about that. But, you know, I'm going to also go back to Debbie and say that I am not a fan of breeding just for the experience of breeding. And I always tell folks that have families or children, when they say the kids want to see a babies be born and they want to have puppies, you know what I say? I sign them up to go to the shelter and to walk dogs. And when those dogs are gone the next week because they're euthanized, for me, that is a life-changing experience. My lecture for the day.